my favorite teacher. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. My favorite teacher. My favorite teacher was Miss Klockner. Miss Klockner was my fifth grade teacher in elementary school, and she made learning so much fun that we could not wait to get to school the next day. We just had to rush to get to school the next day because it was so exciting. We couldn't wait to do it. She would say to us, "All right, I'll tell you what we're going to have tomorrow, but I want you to not tell anybody else. This is our secret. We're going to have this tomorrow just for ourselves." And we would say, "Well, what is it going to be?" And then she'd say, "Now I'm going to open the box and I'm going to put it back in again because I don't want anyone to see it except you guys." So she opened the box and she took out a box of dinosaurs, plastic dinosaurs that she got from someplace way back in the days when they didn't make them, you know. And she got those plastic dinosaurs and she said, "This is a Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a Brontosaurus." And she named all of them. And she said, "Now, if any of you were paying attention, you heard the name, but I'm going to put them away. Now, tomorrow, when we come to school, I want each one of you to tell me how many names you remembered. So write it down, and it doesn't matter how you spell it, because they are not easy to spell, but write it down." Well, we went home talking about dinosaurs. We went home telling our friends all about dinosaurs. "We're going to study dinosaurs tomorrow. It's supposed to be a secret, you know. And, you know, kids can't keep secrets. We're going to have fun studying dinosaurs. We're going to learn about dinosaurs." Well, for the next month or two, we learned about dinosaurs. And that was just a part of our learning program there. But everything in school took on a new glow. It took on a new happiness to it because we were studying dinosaurs and because Miss Klockner made the dinosaurs so exciting. And really, by today's standards of teaching, it was not very exciting. It was very mundane, just telling about what those things were. But she cast a spell over our mind and made us think that we actually saw the dinosaurs in our mind. And then she said, "Now, I've got another secret for you, but I won't tell you until it's time to go home on Friday. And then you ask your parents if you can be part of that secret. And if you can, then you'll know. So you take this note home to your parents." And they couldn't tell their parents. They couldn't say. They just had to give them the note. Mm-hmm. Parents knew and they didn't. Well, now, she was going to take the entire class down to the Museum of Science and Industry and show us the dinosaurs in archaeology, you know. And we had never been there before. We should have been, but we never were. And she took a whole bus of kids down there, a whole class, because every parent was just thrilled that she wanted to do that. And we went into this great big musty place, and we saw those dinosaur bones, and some that had skin on it, you know, but they were really big, and we never forgot that. How did she become my favorite teacher? How did she become my bestest teacher in all the world? She was a living example of what she was teaching us. She made the subject come alive so that we would get so excited about dinosaurs, we just had to bubble over them. And it went into all the other subjects we did, into mathematics, into geography, into reading, writing, and arithmetic, the whole 9 yards. It was just fantastic. And we never forgot her. As I can tell you her name, Miss Klockner. Now, I don't know the names of all my other teachers, and I had lots of them, but Miss Klockner, I remember. And fifth grade, I remember. And the room, it was a corner room, and we had windows on one side looking out over the street and so forth, and right across the street was a junior high school, and it was just so wonderful. But we spent very little time looking out our windows. We were looking at the other wall where she had the dinosaurs pinned up and where she had pictures of them, and she told us the story. If we would like to really learn something in life, we practice it. We get excited about it. Now, you can always tell the home that children come from. Now, I know the kind of home you come from in Lugano. I know the kind of home you come from and you. I know the kind of home you come from and you. I know the kind of home you come from. And how do I know? By how you live and how you act. What is your attitude about life? What is your attitude about how you dress yourself, how you feed yourself, how you set the table, how you do whatever meaningful things you do? Every day, you are a living example of what your parents are. And if you are a little rattlesnake, you can be sure that your parents were two big rattlesnakes. It's not that they were bad. It's just that they did not teach you self-discipline. They did not teach you self-discipline in doing things like... parents are rattlesnakes who do not teach their children to make their own bed. Who do not teach their children to put their clothing away. Not really. Parents are rattlesnakes who don't teach their children to do these things, and they do it for them. You know how a lot of parents do it for their children? They go in, it's easier to make the bed themselves, it's easier to put the clothes away themselves. And the kids never learn that as a natural habit. When I get up in the morning, my first thing that I do, I straighten out the bed, pull the covers over it, and it's done. It's done. Oh, sometimes I go to the bathroom first, but generally I cover the bed first, get everything ready, and then Rex can move in. But the thing is, it's just a habit that I've always had. And every day, whenever I see any little spots or any little stones or dirt on my carpet, I take a minute and pick it up. And if there's a lot of them, I kneel down. And I take the wastebasket and I fill my hand and put it in the wastebasket. Now, why don't I use the vacuum cleaner? I do use the vacuum cleaner. But immediately, I don't want those little pieces there. Now, I took a towel from the towel menagerie in the embassy, a blue towel, for laying over my bed. It's a big old beach towel. Well, it was glorious. I looked at it, nice, nice, nice. And then I flung it out like this and laid it down. Oh my goodness sakes, it was all full of little loose pieces of terry cloth. Little strings were sticking out here. Little strings here, you know how they strings stick out of your blouse or out of a towel? And there was maybe about 100 of them, maybe more. And so I said, I don't like that. I don't like things in my home that are not beautiful and well taken care of. So I took 2 or 3 minutes. And I kneeled down next to my bed and I prayed. I kneeled down next to my bed and I took a good pair of scissors and I went clip, clip, clip and made them a little pile. Made them a little pile. Clip, clip, clip and a little pile. Pretty soon I had 4 little piles and all the little endings were clipped off and it looks just like a brand new towel now. Really nice. Now, I do that whenever necessary. Whenever I feel a string hanging off my cuff or something, I don't pull it. Because if you pull it, you're liable to make the rest of the cuff come off. But I just snip it, and then it's done. And these are little things that I don't know where I learned that. I don't know where I learned that. Somewhere along the line, my mother said, oh, look at these towels. They're not that old, but they're all full of little things that make them look like they're old and should be rags. She said, and we haven't money to buy new towels, but we have the time to take care of these old towels. So she asked me, she said, I have a special treat for you. I'm going to allow you to clip off all these little pieces from this towel and make it look so nice that everybody's going to think, oh, we got new towels. And it was our game. And it took maybe a half an hour or better, but I went through all the towels, and I trimmed off all the pieces. But then I had my scissors going. And I said, what else do you want trimmed? What else do you want cleaned up? What else do you want? You know, like my paintbrush? And so Mother thought of other things. And it was such an honor, such a privilege to do this for her, because she made it like a game. She made learning and doing nice things like a game. And she would always say to me, you know, I think that children who are nice to their neighbors are some of the most wonderful children in the world. Well, I wanted to be one of the wonderful children in the world for sure, you know. So I went over and was nice to my neighbors. Now, I don't know if she didn't say that to my sisters or my brothers, but she said it to me. And I just went and did it. Now, she may have said it to them too, and they may not have the time to do it or the desire or whatever, but I did. Because, you see, I'm that kind of person. You give me a paintbrush, and you tell me to paint this door and so forth, and then I'm saying, I got enough paint here to paint another door. You got another door you want painted? I want to use it up and take care of it, because I know once I put the cover on that paint can, it's better to go in the trash, because it's never going to be used, that little bit of paint. But if I apply it right away somewhere where it's useful, it's going to be nice. Now, you see, this is how I was brought up. My dad had a statement. He was a building contractor. And he didn't say much to us kids. He said, if you don't behave, I'll take my belt off. And that meant when that belt came off, that we'd get a spanking. And we didn't want that kind of spanking. But we behaved. But he did say, now, I don't want you holding the hammer like this. I want you holding the hammer by the end. And let the hammer do the work. That the head of the hammer do the work. And so I thought, gee, that's nice. So I tried that. And oh, my hammer went this way and that way and everywhere. And he says, there's only one thing to learn. When you put a nail in, put it in square. Hold it up and take the hammer with all your force and down she goes. You're not going to hit your finger because your finger is there. And you're going to aim right. And if you think you're going to aim right, you'll aim right. Well, I have always been a very good hammerer. I've always been very good at hitting the nail and in one blow, generally, driving it right flush with the board. But, you see, those are little things that we're taught. Those are little things that we are given lessons in. And those, are, to me, are the essence of a good teacher. And my dad didn't teach much, but everything he taught us, I remember. And my mother taught more than I know, because most of the things she taught silently, you know. She just said, gee, it'd be so nice if this were done. And then she'd go away. She didn't say, you do it. She knew I wouldn't. But she just said, it'd be so nice if this were done. Or, oh, that would look so nice over there. We'll have to ask the kids to move it there, you know, because it's pretty heavy. Well, not for me, you know. Somehow I would get it moved over there, even if I scarred the floor in the process. But I moved things, and I did things. But I loved my teacher. And my teacher was really myself. Because though my mother and father may have given me samples and examples, though my teachers at school may have given, it was me that had to take the information and claim it. It was me that had to apply it. It was me that had to make it useful. So really, my most fun teacher was myself. Now, my sisters had the same teachers I had, and they responded a little differently to life. My younger brother, he had the same teachers we did too. But he responded a little differently to life. And this is the way it must always be. Because we are driven by the teachers who guide us into thinking beautiful thoughts about ourselves and showing us that we can do anything we want to do. Now, who is your greatest teacher? And, yeah, me, that's right. We can look around us. We can be happy with our teacher, our mother and fathers, and our families. But everybody in my family didn't respond the way I did to my mother's suggestions. And that's fine. I mean, that didn't make me a goody boy or not. That just made me wise. Because I didn't have to be hit over the head with a 2x4 to be told something, to be made to understand something. Sometimes here in our group, I feel I have to shout out and get your attention. And I think to myself after I'd done it, why did I bother shouting to get your attention when I had your attention, but you didn't hear what I was saying? So therefore, why even get your attention? Just do my thing and have fun. And if you want to learn by my example of what I do, super. If you want to learn by some other example, super. But just always remember, be yourself and have fun. Because if there's anything that you're not proud of doing, don't do it. If there's anything that you are proud of doing, do it. And do it all the time. The best teacher. Where do you find the best teacher? Oh, you knew we'd say within. But the best teacher is the one within that listens in the world around us and is guided by whatever is fun and lots of interesting things to do, like my Miss Klochner. And she was a miss, you know. She probably was, quite an old lady. I think she was maybe about 28 or something like that. Just an old, you know how they are. Just an old lady. But she was just so excited because she, too, actually was quite young yet. And her excitement just rubbed off on us. And everybody else's, too. So, think on these things and enjoy them.
Thank you.
And remember that you're the one who lets the excitement get you. Do you want to sit and watch a ball game and shout and holler and say, wonderful? Or do you want to get out there and play? And the spectators are okay, they're necessary for sports, you know. But the players are the people who make the game interesting. So you be the player that makes the game interesting. Have a lovely morning, afternoon, and evening, and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.